Raleen Marks, a very, very good morning to you. How are you and how is lockdown?
Well, first of all, thanks for asking because, you know, not many people ask how we are. Hey, I'm causing as much mayhem as I can.
Good. From a, you know,
from a socially acceptable distance.
Have you been in lockdown? How is it going? You know, I know last night there was an order from Netanyahu to say that's it. 7 days, strictly enforced, stay in your homes, unless you need food or medicine. But have you been, what has your week looked like?
Okay, so I've been out once this week, and that is to the grocery store up the road, equipped with my gloves to get a few things. I've been taking, as well as many, unfortunately not everybody, took the directive to stay at home very seriously, which is why we've now gone to almost full, well, pretty much full police enforced lockdown. We will be allowed for the next 7 days, and it's an absolute critical time for Israel and countries that are kind of in our area, because this week will determine how far we are when it comes to flattening the curve. So my day, you know, I work from home, so my day has been pretty routine. One thing I do miss terribly is my ability to go to the gym, but you know, I understand it's for my own good. My husband, who's a legend, gets up every day, puts on his work clothes and goes to the dining room table and does a full day of work.
In fact, how's the traffic? How is the traffic to the dining room table, I'm saying?
Well, our biggest hope is that Israeli drivers will learn to socially distance themselves when things get back to normal. And I believe, believe wholeheartedly, we will get back to normal. I think we've seen signs of recovery in China. I think we're going to see signs of recovery, but it's absolutely critical at this time that we obey the health ministry regulations and we stay inside. We self-isolate. We look at ways, and I don't envy any parent who is homeschooling.
They're fast losing minds. Yeah, no question about that.
You know, we have had issues with some ultra-Orthodox sect who have said, you know, that they are not afraid of the virus. And, you know, we just want to stress, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who still think they're young enough to party and it won't affect them. It's not necessarily about you. It's about who you could possibly infect. So please, we need to look after each other. And the way that we do this is by staying at home and by isolating. But Israeli spirits are phenomenal right now. Yesterday at 12 o'clock, we had story time with the president, which was designed mostly for children big children
this.
Like myself.
I love that, yeah.
Well, first of all, he is just so special, President Ruvi Rivlin, and he, you know, he said he understands how difficult this time is for parents, how you know, children, especially little ones, don't really understand why they can't go out and they can't see their friends and they can't play with their friends. So he took time out yesterday, and there are pictures on his Facebook page sent to him by very grateful parents.
Right.
And he took 6 minutes on Facebook to read the children of the nation and us, big children, a story, and it was absolutely delightful. And for those 6 minutes, I think parents all over the country could just breathe, have a cup of coffee, have a little bit of peace.
Isn't incredible,
and
sometimes?
The look of
he's
the Saba of the nation. He's the grandfather of the nation. And of course, last night, and I'm actually tearing up as I speak, the phenomenal moment that Israelis took to their balconies from the north to the south and everywhere in between, including here in Modi, in people took to their balconies, those in quarantine flicked the lights on and off to clap, to applaud, to say thank you to medical teams, emergency services, everybody all over the country who is working round the clock to keep us safe and who are really on the front line. And another group of people that we perhaps haven't paid attention to are supermarket and pharmacy workers, people who are risking their lives to be in the pharmacies, to be in the supermarkets, to make sure that we have everything that we need, who are putting up with people panicking and getting, you know, really, really frightened and hysterical. We need to give some kavod. We need to salute those as well. And also incredible scenes coming out of one of the supermarkets in Israel earlier this week. People singing the Eyal Golan song, Mishema Mim Lo Mefached, those who have faith have nothing to fear, which goes to prove Howard and Zanati, there's an Eyal Golan song for every occasion.
It really is incredible. How was the 6 o'clock thing coordinated?
Well, I got a WhatsApp and I posted it to my Facebook page. My friends shared it. The WhatsApps circulated. And, you know, 6 o'clock came last night as the heavens opened. And I thought, oh, yeah, people going to do this. But in the rain, we all were out. People in downstairs in her nightgown. She's a cancer patient. She was out shouting, lebriot, lebriot, you know, to health, to health. Everybody out, kids out, adults out, lights flickering, people waving flags, people banging on pots. We weren't singing, which perhaps it is a good thing, but everybody was out clapping, including the Prime Minister, including Benny Gantz, who, you know, interrupted their meetings.
Incredible.
To stand and to applaud. Everybody
whose initiative was that?
Got on their feet.
Whose initiative was that?
I don't know. I received
It's almost like this, like a Mexican wave across the country to some extent in support of you know, the doctors and those on the front and medical staff in the front lines. But it's almost like it gathered its own momentum. That's what I'm so fascinated by.
Absolutely. You know, Israelis, we've faced adversity time and time again, and you know, one of the things, and I think that, which is why I believe we're going to get ahead of the curve here quickly, is our ability to adapt quickly to emergency situations, to very, very dynamic situations. And also, because we are a very military centric country, we are able to mobilize very quickly. Believe it or not, we're quite good at following orders, well, for the most part, except for the odd few that still decided this week to go to the beach, which is why we are in lockdown. But we've mobilized the RDF. The RDF are helping Magen David Adom with calls, with help. And also, and it has to be said, and it can't be said enough, the coordination between Israel and the Palestinians, because we've also declared war on corona in the Palestinian territories. And we are working very closely there with medical professionals, with the security forces there, to ensure that it's contained, that they have everything that they need. In fact, President Rivlin spoke to President Abbas and said, you know, look what we're doing together in a time of crisis. Imagine what we could achieve in a time of peace.
Yeah, this is what I can't get over around this COVID-19, is how suddenly everybody, it's almost like this pause, and everybody said, okay, now let's forget the nonsense. Let's forget, you know, the wars and the ridiculous things that we fight about, and gender arguments and hysteria. And let's just focus on what's real for a bit. And I guess the question is, what happens after?
This is, I think, the big question that everybody wants to know. You know, I loved your column in the Jewish Report, you know, take time out for the universe to reset itself. And I'm hoping that, you know, this is my hope, that it gives us perspective, not to cancel each other out. It teaches us respect for the elderly. You know, we hear people on social media all the time going, okay, boomer, you know, nonsense has to stop. Respect the elderly. They are the most at risk. What has been very interesting to me is looking at the language that the Israeli government, Naftali Bennett, the defense minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, when they speak about the elderly, they don't say the elderly. They say our grandmothers and grandfathers. It's very, very distinct language.
Yeah, it's true that, actually. I didn't realize that until now. Although the one thing that did bother me about Naftali Bennett, and his message was absolutely right, but, you know, I feel like we've got so much Jewish guilt. Imagine knowing that you've killed your grandmother.
You know what? If people are not going to listen to the lockdown laws, Jewish guilt might be the only thing that gets
true.
Into it.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Of course. He's just using Jewish guilt to get you to stay home. Wow.
He's the defense minister after all. We've got to think of every military strategy.
Incredible. I spoke to my son last night. He's in an apartment 35 square meters with a big dog. So that's going to be an interesting 7 days. I can imagine it's going to be, a challenging period for people for the next week. And of course they're saying a week, but we don't really know, how long this is going to go on.
Well, let's put some things into perspective. So they've said a week. It's almost a week since Sunday night when Prime Minister Netanyahu basically said the same thing, except this time he said, we're going to enforce
this time
it.
I mean it, yeah.
This time I really, really mean it. You're going to be in serious, serious trouble, people, if you don't. In fact, they're going to introduce penalties, and I don't think anybody wants to pay like thousands of shekels in fines right now. Mm. But, as I said to my husband this morning, we're almost through a week already.
Right.
It's already gone by because we set that routine. Mm. We're almost 2 weeks since the travel ban announcement that there will be mandatory quarantine. So, the time is going and I'm really, really hoping that, our offensive to flatten the curve, is really, really on track and it's going to work.
Yeah, I really believe that it will work. Here in South Africa, we're doubling every 2 days, unfortunately, the number of cases. And, I think that we're going to be heading to that very, very quickly already. Restaurants are not allowed to be open, after 6 p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
There's no gatherings more than 100 people. I can see us following the Israel model quite closely. I've certainly been nervous to work from home, but I am going to be starting to do that today. And I think by next week, most people will be working from home. Aside from coming into studio, I'm going to be pretty much at home to try and assist in this. And I think we all just simply have to do what we have to do, even if it's uncomfortable, even if we're nervous. And as I say, I am nervous to do it. Personality-wise, as are you, Rolene, you connect with people all the time, and it's not easy for people like you or like myself, who are out there with people all the time. But we've just have to do what we have to do.
You'll be surprised at how quickly you can become creative. That was my concern. I'm a communicator by profession. What am I going to do? But you mm-hmm. become very, very adaptable very quickly and very creative. I think the key is to set yourself a routine, and to be quite disciplined about it because, in my apartment, we go to work. We both early risers, so we're both working from about 6:30 every morning to about 5:30-6:00 every evening, but we go to work.
Right.
In fact, the other day I got told not too many personal phone calls in the workplace. I thought, what is this?
Wow. I guess that's a fair point, yeah.
And exercise.
Yeah, they say that as well.
Exercise.
Everybody is in fact, the two things that you're talking about that you are saying, which is routine and exercise are the, it seems to be what we are hearing from absolutely everybody who is managing this successfully. And we need to learn from that. We do need to take those lessons because whoever is managing it, such as you are, in a positive way, those are the things that we are hearing.
My ballet class did a Zoom meeting the other day. My one, I like to go to classes because, I'm so like lost cop when it comes to working out. My one, teacher's taken to Facebook Lives, grabbed two bottles of water and something that you can slide on the tiles and let's do some lunges and squats. Get up every couple of hours, do some squats, do some lunges, do some pliés. Everything can be done, and it's a wonderful experiment in creativity.
Yeah, I see. Jonathan just sent me a message saying, it's not boring at all to stay in the house, but how come a bag of rice has 7,456 pieces while another one has 7,398? Right, exactly. I'm not sure that is the creativity that you are talking about. In the meantime, Rolin, just have a Shabbat Shalom. Be safe, be healthy, be, you know, everything that you need to be over this period. Not easy, obviously, for us here in South Africa as well. It's the first Shabbat probably in, I don't know how many years, that the shuls are all closed. Minyanim aren't happening. Very, very difficult for people to get their minds around that. But I think what's important, and something that you've been reiterating over and over again, is that it's temporary. We will get through it. We've just got to do it the right way so that we get through it as quickly as possible.
You know, I've got a beautiful meme from my rabbi in South Africa, Rabbi Roddle. You know, before we weren't able to pray in Minyanim because of hate. Today it's because of love. And I know it's going to be a difficult one, but guys, wherever we are in the world, we're in this together, and we'll pull through this together. And much love to you guys there in the studio. Shabbat shalom to everybody, and stay healthy.
Amen. And you as well. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.